Is the choir coming up today or tonight? Yes? It's that or I'm going to have to lead. So please come up.
Oh. good evening and welcome everybody to our service this evening. And if you're joining us online, we want to welcome you as well. If you all would, I'm going to have a little something here on my heart. If you could just turn over to Romans chapter 12. While I'm up here also, I want to remind you all to continue to pray for Sister Jackie and Brother Billy. They are still in much need of prayer, and also just continue to pray for our church. And me and Dave was just sitting there talking about when, at what point will we get past this, all this stuff with COVID, that we can get back to something a little bit more normal and a little bit more normal church services and seeing everybody for, and I'm looking forward to those days and hope they come soon. There in Romans 12, verse 1, it says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." You know, this week I got the opportunity to go out and speak with the Scott High football boys, and this was the text that I used in my message. And one of the points I outlined for them was, when you look at what Jesus Christ did as he came to this earth, he did many miracles. Performed many miracles and everything, but that was not the reason that Jesus came. All those miracles that Jesus did was to honor his Father. And then when we sit down and look at what we should be doing, it's not that we should be singing in a choir or do door knocking or do any of those things, even though all those things are good, but what we are to do is to honor our Lord and Jesus Christ. If we honor Jesus Christ, then all those things just come along with it. So if we truly love and honor Jesus, all that other stuff takes care of itself. So anyways, I just had that on my mind. Again, let's just be in much prayer for the church. I'll ask the deacons if they'll come forward and take up tonight's offering. What are we singing? All right, this will be our congregational hymn, so if you all please stand. And it was 162, verses 1,
2, and 4.
1, 2, and 4. Brother Ron, would you ask the prayer, please?
Pray for this offering, Lord, that there should Lord, I don't want to do one thing on my own. Put me where you want me, Lord, where I belong. Give me the strength to do thy perfect will. When I'm in the lowest valley, I can climb the highest hill. Lord, I want to be what you want me to be. Lord, I want to do the things you want me to do. Lord, I want to stay in the center of thy will. When I'm in the lowest valley, I can climb the highest hill. This old world gets more wicked every day. People's hearts have grown cold, forgotten how to pray. If I live to be 100, I'll keep holding to his hand until he comes to take me home to that promised land. Lord, I want to be what you want me to be. Lord, I want to do the things you want me to do. Lord, I want to stay in the center of thy will. When I'm in the lowest valley, I can climb the highest hill. When I'm in the lowest valley, I can climb the highest hill.
Amen.
We're going to try our song again.
Sit down. I'm sorry. This is messed up. It's gone.
Don't worry about it.
Anyways, we were driving on our way to take him to Grayer's house, and we passed a graveyard in Boston, said out of the blue, we weren't talking about it, and said, Mom, you know, there's a lot of people buried out there. I bet a lot of them that are out there didn't go to heaven. They went to hell. And I said, yeah, Boston, that's really true. That's a really sad thought. You know what that means? He said, yeah, I got to tell everyone about Jesus. And it really blessed my heart. It, I don't know, touched my heart. It's sad, though, to think about that, that's where that that his mind thinks about that, and that's what actually is the reality of things. So, let's go.
That conclusion, and then the conclusion after that would be, well, since that's the case, then I need to tell everybody about Jesus, right? Well, if a six-year-old can pick up on that, how many times have we passed by a graveyard and never stopped? And that is, I got to turn this on. That is a stark reality of the fact that, you know what? Even though you may know everybody in this graveyard, that doesn't mean everybody behind this church is going to go up in the rapture. You know, now I don't know. Maybe we're going to bat 100 and everybody back there absolutely knows the Lord. But chances being there's a lot of people back there, and probably there's somebody that doesn't know the Lord. Now what a sad thing to be buried in a church cemetery. I mean, there's church cemeteries and non-church cemeteries. It'd be a sad thing to be buried in a church cemetery and miss the rapture and go to hell. You know, it'd also be sad to be within earshot of the gospel and being able to do nothing about it because you're dead. That's also a sad thing, right? But I like what he said. Well, can't worry about those that are gone. Just got to get out there and tell everybody that I know about Jesus. Well, if a six-year-old can do that, then we can do that, right? I don't think everybody in Scott County is saved yet, so that's a good task to carry out, and thank you for that testimony, and thank you for singing those songs. Okay, take your Bible, if you would, this evening, to the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 1, and we're just going to continue to look at two more of these churches, and then we'll be done with this. When the Lord's writing these churches, it's important to remember, if he had an opinion about these churches, that he would have an opinion about churches today. If he was looking at these churches and saying, here's the things you're doing right, here's the things that you're doing wrong, he could come into this room today, and by the way, I would be in the same hot seat as you are. He was after these preachers as much as he was after the people going to church there. And I wonder what his report would be of Helenwood Baptist Church. What are some of the things we're doing right? What are some of the things that we're doing wrong? But we can look at these things, and we can look at these churches, and the good things we can try to make sure they're here, and then, you know, the things, to be honest, that there might be some rebuke in here that's something that we need to pay attention to, right? And I'll say this, you know, Matt's right, it's going to be, we're going to have to dig out of where we were. I mean, before COVID, we had to put chairs down. And, you know, I was picking on Joan. This is Joan's fifth service in a row. Hadn't missed. And she said, I bet you didn't know that I was counting. I pay attention a little bit more than what most people. But you know what I like about that? Is because she lives by herself. All right, she's got a push. Okay, she's got some health issues. Look, if she's willing to do that, man, let's roll up our sleeves and go. And that's the only way we can do is to show a little bit of strength. Sometimes, I mean, honestly, guys, if maybe I'm wrong and I'm all right, you can tell me that. But am I naive to think that we can trust God to keep us safe in this room? And if he chose for something to happen, then I would have to be okay with that, right? Right? I mean, or else if that's not true, how do we live the rest of our life? You know? And it's just, it's digging in, it's being faithful. You know? I mean, that's encouraging to me. You know, when you guys come, that's encouraging to me. We still got a lot of empty pews. You know, so maybe what you could do this week is find somebody that's not been in a while. Pick up the phone. Don't read. Just say, hey, just want to let you know that you're missed. That'll go a long way. Just that. We'll just go. And everybody, God will put somebody different on your mind. And it might be, hey, I'll come pick you up, or I'll come along and ride with you, or whatever. Okay, let's get into this evening. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the book of Revelation and insight into churches in the past. And Lord, I pray that some of these things are evident in churches today, that we would have an open heart as a church and as a people that's part of a church, that we would be willing to listen to a rebuke and take that, but also, Lord, be encouraged by some of the things that we're doing right. Jesus, I just want to thank you what Brother Matt said about presenting your body as a living sacrifice. So many times we forget the other part of that. We come before you and we forget that you only accept holiness. Lord, we can't bring our mess in front of you. And Lord, so again, we want to make sure that we ask you for forgiveness and honesty in our heart and life. Lord, there's no sense being fake with you. You know everything already. Lord, that there would be a desire to please you, and you can only be pleased by holiness. Help us to work on that this week. Lord, that our life would be a sweet-smelling savor to you. I pray you'd speak to our heart this evening as we look at the book of Revelation. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. In Revelation chapter 1, and let's go in verse 10. And I was in the Spirit on the Lord's, that's chapter 2, 1, you don't want that. Let's see. It's chapter 2, and we're going to be in verse 8. And unto the, I started in chapter 1, that's not where I want to be. Chapter 2, verse 8. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write these things, saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. And again, I mentioned this before, I just love how these different names just explain who Christ is. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write these things, which saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. So he talks about that he's always been and always will be. Talks about that, yes, he was dead. He died on the cross, but he is alive today. That was a neat way to say that Jesus is talking to this church. Just another name for him. And you'll find that at the beginning of every one of these letters. Just another picture of who Christ is. Verse 10, fear not. Verse 9, I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. I like about in verse 9, it talks about how this church was not a wealthy church financially, but they were wealthy in spiritual things. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. So that there is a value out there that's not associated with a dollar or finances. That this church maybe didn't have the nicest building, maybe wasn't in the nicest part of town. The people in this church might not have been from the upper class or had a lot of white collar people in their church. This was a church that was recognized for their poverty. Yet God saw a value in them that's beyond all of that, a value in their heart, and they said that they were rich. Why? Because they had some things that actually mattered. They had some things that actually had some value to it. This world's going to pass away. What you do for Christ, that's the only thing that lasts. And no, they might not have had things easy here, but God looked at them and said, those people are rich. They're rich in faith. They're rich in their love of God, that they were honest and true before him. And God recognized that. And they said that there is a value in that. The value of a church is never in a building. It's never in a location. I mean, you can have a beautiful church and it be dead as a doornail inside. The value comes, like Brother Matt said, each individual having a desire more than anything to please the Lord Jesus Christ, and that there is a value in that. And he said that they were rich. But thou art rich. I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. So not only was this church poor, but there was a battle that they had to go through. That there was some suffering and some opposition that they had to go through. And here it says, fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison. But man, we think that COVID is a problem. Could you imagine, because of their faith, because of them living out their faith, the Bible says some of them were thrown into prison, not from embezzling or for stealing or for murder or for something they did wrong. They were in prison for the gospel's sake. You think about what COVID has done for a church. What would happen if this kind of suffering took place? Yet they pushed on. The doors didn't close. The people still came. They came knowing that they might be next, but they still came. We could draw strength, although what we've seen now doesn't equal this. We can understand that retreating is not the thing to do now. Going backwards, not the thing to do. We have lost some things. People have lost some things. That it's going to be hard to get back. The devil's not going to make it easy. There were things that we were doing 6 months ago that we're not doing now. And you can take that in an individual life. That even individually, we've lost some things. To say that disappointment, I mean, just coming to church and not seeing everybody, that can weigh in on you. Well, here's a church that had to suffer some things, yet they pushed through it. And what they were suffering is some of them were cast into prison. That ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Now, we cannot compare our suffering to what this church is doing in saying, well, we're going to get a crown of life because of what we're going through right now, but we can absolutely know what our position should be. Don't quit. Dig in. Be involved. Get involved. Because if there's ever been a time that your church has needed you, it's now. There's never been a better time to step up, never been a better time to get involved, never been a better time to get out there and be encouragement and pray than today. Okay? Because we're in jeopardy of losing some things that we're used to because of what's going on. However, I don't know, you think about president, and I very seldom ever get political because my hope's not in a president. But I will tell you this, looking at him and how he faced what he went through, I don't know, kind of gives us all a little bit of a thing that, guess what? It's going to be okay. Now, it's one thing to see me go through COVID. I'm a little younger. But you know what he's proven? You know what? God's in control. Right? And we can trust that, right? Okay, so that was that church. And now I want you to go from there. I want you to go, because some of those we've already talked about. I want you to go to chapter 3, and then I want you to look at verse 14. We're going to spend probably the rest of the time here. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 14. The Bible says this, unto the angel of the church of Laodicea write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So he's looking at this church and he's saying, okay, my analysis of this church is you're neither cold and you're neither hot. You're not doing nothing, but you're not on fire either. You know, and he said that, and if you go on to read this, and you guys know this, it says, because thou sayest, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. That's a pretty harsh statement. May I tell you that the majority of churches today fit more in this category than they do absolutely cold or on fire. May I tell you something? The majority of Christians fit, and by the way, this is churches, but then churches is made up of people. So we can say some churches are cold and dead, and we can say some churches are on fire, right? And then we can say some churches just are lukewarm. Do you know that's the same way as people in the church? There are people that flat out are cold. They come to church every Sunday. They listen to a message. There's no change. There's no involvement. They just keep doing that Sunday after Sunday. And by the way, we probably have all spent a little bit of time in that pew. Flat out cold. Okay? Then there's people in the church that are on fire. I mean, they've got a new kindling in their spirit. And you know, they've gone from that cold spot, and now they're on fire, and they're getting involved, and they want to have a part, and they want to get close to God, and then you can see that. There are definitely people that are on fire, and there's people that are cold. But the majority of people spend most of their time right in the middle. We're not cold, and we're not hot. We're just lukewarm. The problem is that lukewarm feels comfortable. Okay? It's just enough. It's just enough to ease your conscience. It's just enough to keep you at peace. It's just enough, but it's not on fire. And what God said is that I would rather have you either not involved at all or 100% involved. This straddling the fence, we can't take that. Remember what Elijah said to the children of Israel. He says, why halt you between two opinions? If God is God, then serve him. If he's not, then let's all go serve Baal. But whatever we do, let's do it 100%. If God's real, then we need to jump in there 100%. If God's real, he deserves all, not some. If he's not real, well, hey, let's go save the day, go golfing, close down the church, go do something else if this is just a big joke. He said, the part that comes there in the middle, that is just sitting there, and every once in a while, they'll get a spark, but that lukewarm never gets anything done. And now, this is God's opinion of this church. He said, I would rather spew you out of my mouth. Oof. He doesn't like fence straddlings. He doesn't like somebody that's trying to keep a foot in the world and a foot in the church at the same time. You know, he doesn't like it. He said, I'd rather know. Well, let's put it this way. I'm the kind of guy that if I know that I offended you and you're mad at me, I'm going to be at your house at 3:00 in the morning knocking on the door. I can't take that. It drives to know that I shake Chris's hand and he's just pretending like he likes me. That eats me up. I'd rather know that he absolutely hates me. And because I know where he's at. Right? I mean, there's no, and there are some people that are brutally honest. All right? I like a brutally honest person because I don't have to guess. All right? I know exactly how they feel and what they're going through. I don't have to guess. They may not even like me, but at least I know it. Right? Okay? But that one in the middle that'll act like it, but the next thing they're not, no, I can't stand that. But you know what? The Lord's the same way. He can't stand me pretending. And that's what happens when you're lukewarm. He'd rather me know that I don't want anything to do with him. Or he'd rather me over here 100% on fire for him. This stuff in the middle, this pretending, says your heart's really not there. You're just halfway in. And that was his, but I wonder what would happen. But see, in order for a church to see that about themselves, they got to be willing to see the good, bad, and the ugly. In order to see that personally about yourself, you got to be willing to accept the good, the bad, and the ugly. Until then, God, you're not able to get that help. You're not able to really analyze, where am I? You're in one of these three categories. You're either cold or either you're on. Now, it'd be a lot for somebody to raise their hand in church tonight and say, I want to tell you something. I am on fire for God. Right? I mean, anybody willing to jump up tonight and say, hey, I want to testify I am on fire for the Lord? You know, why? Because the second you do this, I'm going to give you a list of things you can do. Amen. You know, I'm going to give you, okay, you're on fire for the Lord. Okay, here's what an on fire person can do for him, right? Well, how many of you were getting ready, would like to get up to say, well, hey, I just want to admit something. I am cold as ice on God. Probably wouldn't get a whole lot of takers there. Why? Because we find comfort in the middle, right? Well, this is what he says about that. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. So this group of people, they have gotten comfortable with being in the middle. They're saying, we don't have problems. We don't need to pray about anything. We don't need to be challenged. We're already there. We already got what we need. I'm happy. You know, I don't have those kinds of issues going on in my life. I don't need anything. We just enjoy our church. We feel good when we leave, and that's just the way we want it. That was their opinion about themselves. Well, then look what God says. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Wow. That was his. Well, you can stand in front of God all you want and say this, think this about yourself, and say that about yourself. But that is kind of a humbling thing to take your whole life, 20 years of service to God, 30 years of service to God, 10 years of service to God, stand in front of him and think, hey, I did a good job. Think that you're rich and you pleased him. And you're standing there and God says to you, you thought you were rich and needed nothing, but you were naked. Oof. Well, that's embarrassing. What does naked mean? Well, that means God's going to come in and he's going to strip me of all of those things that I thought I did for him. But like Matt said, that it was more about me instead of the Lord. Because you know what? I can give something to God, but unless it's presented in the spirit of holiness, he don't accept it. That gets thrown out. Right? And he can see through that. That at the end of the day, we could be standing there being spiritually naked in front of God. These are people that went to church every Sunday that were somewhat comfortable where they were at. And then God looks at them and says, you're naked spiritually. Okay? Then he said, these people thought they were rich. And he said, you're poor. Now look at this. It said, here's a word that I thought was interesting. It said, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched. Well, you know what Paul said about himself? Anybody can remember this, what he said about himself? What did he say about himself? What did you say? Say that a little bit louder, Arnold. You're far better off admitting that yourself than God having to tell you that you're wretched. You're far better off doing what Paul did. See, Paul started off saying, oh, wretched man that I am. And I'll tell you, there's this idea of progressive sanctification that comes from this idea that God chooses who he's going to do a work in. And if he does, and if he's doing that work in you, then the end product's going to be you being like Christ. Well, that takes out 100% out of any kind of responsibility to you, right? Okay, so they come to that verse, and that verse gives them problems. So they like to say that Paul was talking about before he got saved. But the problem is it says, oh, wretched man that I am. All right, not that I was currently right now. Well, that takes Paul out of that category because he's already admitted to that. Now God could do something with him. Now look at this next word. All right, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable. Do you know that there are people that come to church every single Sunday and they smile and they sing the songs and they feel good about themselves, but when they leave miserable. And if you're worthy to look on the inside, that's what you would find. There's no joy. There's no peace. There's no real happiness because you can't find that being lukewarm. You can't find that there. But like Cole sang tonight, the beginning of his song said, Lord, put me where you want me. See, that comes from a spirit that says, I may be nothing, but man, I want to do something for you. However you can use me. What if church members prayed this? Look, I know not everybody can get on an airplane and go to Africa, but that doesn't mean you're insignificant. There's a million things that you can do for Christ. Do you know what would be good for God to hear from planet Earth tonight? God's people saying this, I don't want to be lukewarm, but I don't know what to do. These are my talents, but I don't know how you can use them. All I want to tell you tonight is this, you can have them. You can have them. Find some place where you can use this, and you can have it. I'll do it. This is what I can do. I might not be able to go to Africa, but I can do this. God, what if he heard from his people saying, God, I just want to be plugged in and useful for you, whether it's a prayer list at home. Do you understand? Do we believe in prayer? What if your ministry is to take people that you know are going through some things and lift them up in front of God every day and then send them a letter in the mail and say, hey, I want you to know something today. I prayed for you. And they get that letter and they open it up on a day they think nobody cares. Now go miles. As far as any message I could ever preach, it'd go miles. But we got to start in a place where we say, I don't want to be there. I want to be involved in something. If it's true that we're a body, then there's something for me to do other than just sit. There's got to be something I can do. There's got to be something I can plug. And I promise you, you pray that prayer from a heart that doesn't want to be lukewarm, and you'd be surprised. God's not going to turn that down. Man. Can you imagine him saying, ah, thanks, but no thanks. I got it all covered. Now he'd look at you, whether it was a widow woman and a pot of oil. All throughout the people, all throughout the Bible, God used what we would say was little things to do some big things. What about that little kid with a lunch? Very significant? No. Now, do you think he was the only person in that whole entire group to had any food? You know what I found out going to Africa? People lie. Right? They hoard snacks. There are snack hoarders in Africa. Right? They'll dip into your snacks, eat them completely clean. And then when there's no food to be had, all of a sudden in the back of here, crunch, 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 crunch. Chris, where'd you get that from? He's been holding out. Well, I promise you, there wasn't 5,000 people going down the road with somebody without a pocket full of beef jerky that they ain't telling anybody else about because they don't. But now, that's just, I mean, you honestly think that he was the only one with something with him? No, that'd be crazy. I mean, if a kid brought a lunch, certainly an adult plans a little bit better. But you know what? You know what he said? I don't want to be lukewarm. Now, how'd they find out about the lunch? Because he was willing to let Jesus have it. Just a little bag of lunch. And he handed it to God. And God took that thing and made a story out of it that marvels every child and adult who's ever heard it. Feeding 5,000 people. Just with a little kid that says, this is all I got. But what I have, I want God to use. And see, we won't really find happiness until we're letting God do what he's supposed to do. And a Christian will always be frustrated when they're not doing what they should for the Lord. It'll show up in your marriage. It'll show up in your kids. But man, I tell you, there's great peace when we're just doing what he asks us to do. There's great peace when our goal is, I just want to make him happy. Think about that tomorrow. If your goal is to make the Lord happy, like Matt said, imagine what that'll do for the whole day. There'll be smiles where you've not seen smiles because everybody's not all on edge. Why? Because you're trying to please the Lord, so now you're going to keep your flesh in check. And see, this church, when you walked in it, it might have been full of people. But they were people that were just going through the motions. You know, in a survey of pastors, and Cody's dad would say the same thing. We all get around talking. the statistic is how many people in a church do you think actually give? Do you know what the average of that is across Baptist churches that count that stuff? 20%. Do you know what the average involvement outside of giving, the actual workforce, the people that make sure the fellowship hall's clean after the fellowship? See, there's not little fairies that come in and clean that up afterwards. It takes people, right? The actual backbone of your average church, 20% are involved. And I've been hearing that since I was 10 years old, that statistic. That 20% of the people do 80% of the work. And I've heard old-time preachers say that, so don't get mad at me. All right? Have you ever heard that before? Okay. Well, the reason being is, what would happen if 80% got out of that category? I don't know if we've seen that. It would be something that would turn people's heads if 80% said, and we had 20% that was split up between the ice cold and the lukewarm, and we had 80% sitting over here. Boy, you talk about the Spirit. Sometimes the reason why the Spirit's not where it needs to be in the church is because that is controlled by the people that go there. And if we're all in the doldrums and we all bring our problems to church and nobody's happy when they, if you're not happy before you walk in the door, it's a long trip. So now the pastor's got to make you happy so you can show that you're happy. What if you just came happy? What if you just came excited about serving the Lord before all of that began? Before there was a single song? Man, you had your smile on your face, excited to be there. Now, people are going to show that different. You all have to be goofy like me. But we'll all show. But what if we did that and then you had a church service? Well, then that would be a little different. Well, he goes on and he says this to them. All right, so he kind of was a little hard on him, right? Now look at this. I counsel thee. So he's given advice. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in fire. What does that mean? See, that gold tried in fire, that's a purification process. See, what that'll do is that'll get the lukewarm out of you. Amen. All right? He's saying, I counsel you to find in me gold tried in a fire. So what if we were to pray this tonight? God, I'm just a human being. I don't know if I'm there, or there. But that's where I want to be. And God, if there's something in here that shouldn't be there, get it out of me. Put that through the fire and get it out. As painful as it is, let me see the way you look at me. I want to see what you see, the real Dave Barnhouse. Whether I like it or not, I want to see that. And then God, if I'm a jerk, I want to know about it. If I'm selfish, I want to know about it. If I've been the problem, I want to know about it. Because I don't want to leave it there. And that's what he's saying, church. If you do that, if you'll listen to my advice, And that you will try me as gold went through a fire. See, when it comes out the other end, all of that stuff that causes us to be lukewarm is left behind. So he goes on to say this. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire that thou mayest be rich. He's saying, hey, this process is painful, but on the other end, you're actually going to have something that matters. And white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. Wow. Isn't it awesome? Every one of us on the inside are naked in a mess, right? But aren't you glad that there's something to hide that embarrassment? And it's godliness. It's his righteousness. It's being like him. See, when I got his righteousness, I'm not standing in front of him naked anymore. But I can't remember last week, my own righteousness is as filthy rags. If I'm going to have the righteousness of Christ, guess what I have to be? Christ-like. I have to be Christ-like. Well, if everybody in this room was Christ-like, be a wonderful place to go. I mean, you couldn't build a building big enough. Because you know what? People out there are searching. They want real. We don't have a whole lot of time to be fake anyways. Right? Who knows where the end is? All I know is that, you know, God talked about awaking and not sleeping because today's the day. All right, so it goes on to say, that thou mayest be clothed and that thy shame of thy nakedness do not appear. Anoint thine eyes with eye salve so that thou mayest see. See, our problem is we can't see it. What's the eye salve? So the Bible says, okay, Dave, you think you're over in the hot section. You're the pastor. Well, try this ointment out. Put that ointment on your eye. Whoa! Whoa! Right? So what he's saying is, okay, you really want to see? Compare yourself to this. If you really want to know where you're at, compare yourself to this. This will show you the truth. Might not like it, but this will show you the truth. This will show you, like we said this morning, all right? To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and might, and then to love thy neighbor as thyself. How do you know if you're doing that right? Get into this. Okay? When you do, then that's like an eye salve, and that's gonna help you see. It says, anoint thine eye with eye salve so that thou mayest see. See, they couldn't see what their condition was. As many as I love, look at verse 19, I rebuke and chasten. Do you know if a church just never gets rebuked, what does that mean? God already wrote Ichabod on that door. Right? If sometimes church needs to go through a little bit of purging. Sometimes a little bit of absolute honesty goes a long way. Sometimes just saying, okay, you know what? I can't worry about what that person, I just got to worry about me. I don't want to be in that lukewarm place. I don't need to get over here. But sometimes the church needs rebuke, but then sometimes the people in the church need to be rebuked. And even if I need to listen, I listen to preaching. You know why? Because I need to be rebuked. Because if you're not rebuked, guess what? You don't belong to them. If you never hear God point out something in your life that you're doing wrong, big danger zone. Because just like, you know, you see some kid acting up in Walmart, you can't go over there and spank him. See how far that goes. So what are you doing? Kid's being bad. Is he your kid? No, I just couldn't take it no more. Right? Well, guess what God doesn't do? That spanking's coming at a later day. God is only going to take his belt off now for his children.
Amen.
Okay? And to say, well, I don't need a spanking. It's like, now you know what I do? I know I do. I plead for mercy. Hey, can you give me two instead of three? Your kids ever do that? Your kids ever try to negotiate how many swats they're going to get? You know, hey, Dad, how about two instead of three? You know, oh, I love this one. Can you make it not hurt? I'm like, well, that kind of defeats the whole purpose of this thing, you know. So they go on and say, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Boy, that's a con. Man, he just got all over them, and then he just smothered them in kindness. He said, look, I only do that because I care about you. I could just take your candlestick away. But I care about you. That's why I wanted to tell you the truth. You're lukewarm. Got to do something about it. And then he gives them a time to repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in unto him and will sup with him and him with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. Aren't you glad that Jesus overcame? Do you know? Okay, we know he couldn't sin, right? But to say that there wasn't a struggle there, then that would negate the whole thing, right? Right? He felt what you feel. Now, he didn't have the bad thoughts, but he felt the pull. He felt that. Right? Hey, go ahead and jump off that thing. The angels will catch you. He could feel that pull. He felt that pull when he was in the garden. And he knows what's coming in front of him. And he says, Father, not my will, but thou be done. You know what the devil's saying? Oh, he's right there on the edge. I mean, right there on the edge. And all we need him to do is go, no way. Not doing it. He's God. He could do that. That would plunge every one of us right straight to hell. But the grief that he felt, those big drops of blood, that was a pull. And we think, well, he was God, that wasn't it. You know, but he was in our body. Okay? Now, he didn't have sin in him, but he dwelt in a body of flesh. All right? That still pulled on him. And he overcame. But guess what? Then he says, hey, Dave, I finished the course. And then what he does is when we get saved, he jumps on inside of you. And you know what he says? Come on, Sean, I know where the pothole is. Hey, Sean, I know where the roadblock is. Hey, Sean, don't listen to him. I heard that. He was screaming that in my ear. Hey, why don't you command these rocks to be bread? Hey, Sean, I could have done that. I could have made the whole mountain a big loaf of bread. He wanted me to do that, but I didn't listen to him. Sean, don't you listen to him? Wow. That's really, really neat to think. He says, you overcome. The goal is to, now look what it says here, because I like this. So you're in a race, right? One day that's going to be finished. And look what it says. To him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me. Aren't you excited about the day you finally get to sit? You cross over that finish line. You're breathing like this. And he says, well done. You fought a good fight, Dave. Enter in. And you get to sit down. See, Jesus is already sitting. Why? His race is done. He crossed the finish line a long time ago. And he's helping us do that right now. Goes on to say, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Not everybody's going to listen. Not everybody will listen. Some people walk out of here and think, not me. I'm good. Well, and then there are some people going to say, you know what? That's the last thing I want to do. Go through all this and find out the best I was lukewarm and he wanted to spit me out of his mouth. I won't be there. You might not even know. I'm working on a message right now about the things that hold back churches and people. The things that we do that keep God from being able to work. We do them, we don't even know we're doing them. I mean, do you think the people that went up to AI knew that that guy hid that stuff in the tent? Nope. They just came off a great victory. They're like, woo-hoo, man. We just took down Jericho. They didn't know there was sin in the camp. And then all of a sudden, man, they go on to the next town and whoop. They went back and every one of them are trying to think, what happened? Even Joshua saying, what happened? They didn't know. Do you know that we could be part of the problem and not even know it? Why? Our ear can't hear. So it'd be better to say, okay, Lord, that's what you thought of that church. I don't want to do that. So here I am. Put this through the fire. I just want it. Like Matt said, I just want to serve you. Just show me. And you know what? God's people will gladly listen to a father that says, "Hey, Dave, you got some sin hidden underneath that tent. Just go get it out. Hey, Dave, you're doing this for the wrong reasons. Try doing it for me next time." Just listen to him. Just take this week and say, "God, as you examine churches in the Old in Revelation, you examine churches now, and you examine people in the church, examine me. Let me be part of the solution, not part of the problem." Wouldn't that be great this week to move over to the next step and be on fire for the Lord? Guilt will hold you back. I mean, one of the biggest things God will do is use your past to go like this and hold you there. Don't let him do that. Another thing he'll do is he'll hold your current struggles and he'll hold that thumb on them and he'll beat you up over that. He'll take your pride. You can't tell somebody. You can't do that. What will they think? And he'll just hold you down like that. Well, man, I tell you something. You just let God come in and help you with that, and you get that all out in the open front of him, and you lay it out there, you'd be surprised at what a Holy Spirit and a loving God could do with that. And then repent, move on, and let's say, well, get back here tomorrow, the next Sunday, and say, the agenda is this. Now, at the end of every service, we say, how do you close out a service? If everybody is at the end of a business meeting or at the end of a church, everybody's got a clear mind. What if we did that before you ever walked in the door? What if we ever said, what if the entry to get into here was this? Okay, you want to go to church today? You got a clear heart before God? Now give me a minute. I'll be out in the car. Come back in. All right, you got a clear heart before God? Yeah. Next person. Okay, you got a clear heart before God and men? Wait a minute. That was a rough ride into church. Let me go back out in the car. What if we all stopped right there before we ever touched that door? And said, I am clear before God the best of my ability at this moment. Then we sat down here. Now that's stuff they'd write books about. People just getting real. Have you ever been in a spot in your life where you really didn't care what anybody else thought about you? You just needed to get right with the Lord. And I'm not talking about going and confessing that you're doing cocaine. I'm just talking about that harsh word that was said today. That unkind thought. That indifference that settled in. That, I can take it or leave it, attitude. Wow. That would just go a long way with the Lord. Okay, if you stand with heads bowed and eyes closed, and we'll go ahead and dismiss. I'm going to ask Brother Matt if he closes in prayer for this evening. Okay, see you on Wednesday.